This person writes, it looks as though they're coming from the United States. They say, I always encourage free speech and opinions, but VOB needs to lift the standards and reduce the partisan contributions from some of these scholars. It's becoming boring and disrespectful to international listeners like me. So there are different opinions out there. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, the Ellis, hear me?
Yes, sir.
Load that radio there, man. I'll get on.
Me?
Yeah, Mr. Ellis, I'm calling on the behalf of people of St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Look, when we talk about the roads that are being repaired, roads that are being repaired on the highway, there is a road, and I want to name it loud and hard, Ridge Road, St. Joseph, Ridge Road. That road leads from Paris Road, Coconut Grove, you can get from Bizet. It goes to Bathsheba, Gagsill. You with me?
Yeah.
It's a very road that serves a meaningful purpose in St. Joseph. And that road, I hope that the Honorable Dale Marsh is listening. That road is ridiculous. And I mean, it's really heartburning to see that a road on the highway that is being fixed. That I personally feel that that road does not, it can wait till later on. And roads in the country are so terrible, like the Ridge Road. I don't understand why this road cannot be fixed. Because it is fixing. And it's very, very bad.
That's well, first of all, when you look at this issue of which roads got priority, part of the determination may very well have to do with how much traffic passes on these roads. Look, the ABC Highway is a key artery to and from the airport, the Bridgetown Port, into Bridgetown. All right? So, it's a highway. It is supposed to be free of the potholes and that sort of thing, because one or two potholes in that particular highway certainly can create a problem because of the speed at which people are traveling. So, I assume that these are some of the considerations that went into determining which one they were going to work with first. Now, we also must appreciate that the new government recognizes that infrastructural development is absolutely essential. So I don't believe that this is going to stop here with this particular type, this project, and the money that had been approved by the Inter-American Development Bank for road and infrastructural work.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ellis, but we talk about potholes on the highway, but that road, Ridge Road, St. Joseph, you can, if you ever drive down that road, you won't call those potholes.
It's not Ridge Road alone. It's not Ridge Road alone. I mean, if you look...
I thought on the behalf of the part from which I came.
Understood. But I want to say to you that I sympathize with the difficulties that people in St. Andrew and St. Joseph are facing in particular. I spoke this morning with the minister responsible for empowerment and elder care. And she was talking about a few instances in St. Thomas as well, where, you know, there's been some land slippage, like close to the CBC antenna. And the threat with heavy rainfall is that you can get more land slippage as well. But we have a lot of roads and bridges in those areas that are in need of serious attention. Yes. So I take that point. But I also think you need to weigh that too against the point which I'd raised about trying to make sure that the roads that are heavily traversed, that have a lot of traffic on them, and that are key to economic activity in the country.
I'm telling you that if I had my own way, I will repair some of the roads in the country, including the one I just mentioned, before some of the roads and on the highway.
Yes.
You're there?
Yes, I'm listening.
As I got you, let me draw another curve. When we are talking about politics, this is just a suggestion, no? And just another thought. It is so heartwarming for people to be laid off and earn no government. I am saying that there are so many members of parliament and there are so many large salaries. I am saying that I never heard the prime minister and her whole cabinet. If I feel the prime minister and all her members can cut their salaries, all of them, across the board. before we even think about laying off so many people. Because the ministers and the prime minister, they work for assuming a big salary. I'm not talking about the past government. I know you will hear that there. Because the past government, they are gone. I don't want to hear about them no more as far as I'm concerned. They are gone, and let them be gone. Let us talk about the present government. I personally feel that they can think about cutting their salaries, individually, all of them, and show Barbados that they are as loving as they say, and they have the people's interests at heart. Don't you think that would be a good sign to us Barbadians, Mr. Ellis?
I think they need to listen to people like you, for sure.
They need to listen to people like me?
Yes.
Well, you're complimenting me. Let me hear that one, bro. Big up me on VOB. Let me hear
what you Well, you want me to call your name then?
I have no problem. My name is Dexter Bradshaw.
Dexter Bradshaw.
I'm not Dexter Bradshaw. A prison officer of Barbados. I have never heard. I'm not illegal.
Okay, well, the boys up in St. Joseph will have drinks for you this afternoon.
I don't any longer, sir.
Well, they will buy drinks and give them to somebody else.
Okay.
All right. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
A blessing. Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How
good
are
morning.
You?
I'm well. And you?
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Me, ma. You can't be well in these hard economic times on people. But, Mr. Ellis...
We say on people, they're hard on you? Yeah, I realize that you make a distinction between the people and yourself. They're hard on you?
I said in these hard economic times.
On people. On people. But you didn't
right.
say...
Like me too. Like me too.
Okay. Okay. Good. You hesitated, though.
Well, okay, because you've got to be very careful with you, because you have to be very careful with me.
Of course.
Good. Now, David, the private sector president, Mr. Clark, he gave a passing grade on the BERT program, which is taught by Mr. Franklin as the Ernie and BERT thing. My heart would be relieved come January the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or 5th. I want you to listen to me carefully, okay?
Yes.
Now, he gave the government a passing grade on this BERT program. But I will feel quite good the 2nd, the 3rd, the 5th, or the 4th of January that the people who have been sent home, along with their families, support not to buy anything at Christmas besides foodstuff. I will feel good to see CBC TV show, Swan Street, Broad Street, all of those streets in town, Sheraton, St.
So you want some more people to get sent home for Christmas?
No.
So what is going to be the effect of your particular request?
Huh?
What do you see as the effect of your particular request? Christmas, people have jobs at Christmas. People have jobs at Christmas.
This Christmas?
People generally have jobs at Christmas.
But I ask you, this Christmas, you intend to employ people? But I know people that tell people already they can't employ them for October.
But I didn't
Christmas.
Tell you that people are going to be employed this Christmas. I said a major thrust at Christmas is to have people employed because you expect an increase in business. If people only buy food and buy nothing else, no Christmas trees, no clothes, no, you know what that will do? It will cause a further slump.
No, David, because the same business people, along with the former president of the same thing, and along with people that got some mercy at civil servant pay should be cut. And to send them home. So the same civil servants now should give them a Christmas gift by not shopping at the place.
Okay, please. Fair enough. That's your position. I want to say this, you know.
Yeah, let me
People forget. Here. Let me go back to the first person who called us today. We forget the extent to which the private sector has taken cut after cut, sacrifice after sacrifice, throughout this long period of austerity, you know.
Yeah, but David, you don't say something that I don't agree with. And that is the take cuts. But you ever look at their profit margin, you understand how the business sector does operate. If they sit down at the end of their financial year, whether it be September, October, and they decide that the next financial year there is to make $1 million, and they make $750,000 just because they did not make that extra $250,000, you know what they say? They did not make a profit. You understand what Mr. Clark said the other day in the paper and at a function? We do not have no problem having a private government partnership, but we got to get massive returns on our investment. I see that the Motley administration saying, who want people left, right, and center? You ain't hear that now. That the ministries that got 2 and 3 parliament secretaries and 2 and 3 ministers, now them are going home. Are you listening to you now, David?
Well, you know, we have spoken to that on a number of occasions. I don't think that I can add anything to that. And for me to add to it now, you know,
we're putting it's not in the wound, right?
Don't put words in my mouth.
I want to ask and put down in your mouth. I want you to take a put in your mouth is if I take you by Kentucky and buy a chicken leg for you.
All right. Let me tell you that we are at the point in this discussion where it is the people out there who matter when it comes to articulating what they see as the important steps that need to be taken. I am not that important in all of this.
You're important. WU is extremely important.
I'm here to facilitate the discussion. David, I will give you an opinion from time to time, but the more important opinion is yours, not mine.
Okay, but David, I want you to do this for me for the next 10 days. Mm-hmm. Play the part where I say, want all civil servants do not support no businesses about this this Christmas or this independence.
Why would be
irresponsible?
I'd be irresponsible.
No.
I would be just as.
Are you facilitating my opinion?
Yeah, but I've done so just now. But to repeat it over the next 10 days is to put me in a category where I would be more irresponsible than you.
But, okay, but listen to me. I know that a lot of civil servants are there will cherish my idea. I shall be more popular in what I say. Have a pleasant, a blessed, a cherished, and a popular day, Mr. Ellis.
You sound like you're advertising there to me. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air? Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine. I haven't heard from you in a while, but...
I was saying the same thing.
Well, you know, I listened to the program, but what you stated earlier, I totally agree with.
What is that?
Too many political yard fells logging up the telephone system every single day. It's almost as if they're addicted. I don't call them loyalists. These are people that need to go see a psychiatrist. Every day they call and the same issues. It's turned off a lot of your callers. And I am one of them. I am totally disgusted with a lot of them. And they're vicious, they're vindictive, they're cruel, they attempt on this program to assassinate other people's characters. I just am fed up. I rarely want to hear anything from them. And when they are on, I go out into my garden. And hopefully by the time I come back in, they're off the air.
But you
and
know,
a lot of people feel that way.
Well,
a lot.
The truth of the matter is that
they're going to destroy your program if you don't watch out. And I think that's what they're attempting to do.
This program has been around for a long time.
Brass tacks.
This program has been around for a long time.
And I know that
we have been.
But everybody's been around, and there's coming a time for everything to end.
We have been
life.
Through a lot of attempts at suppression, subversion. Trying to make it as difficult as possible, but we survive because of the people. And I'll tell you that as a moderator, if I'm listening to the call-in program, there are times when I say, but I can't take on this contribution. I go on for the time being. Then I come back to hear what else is being said. I react just like you from time to time. There are some times that I don't hear the program at all, but I know that if I want to get a sense of what is happening and what people are talking about, then I have to come to listen to this program at some point in time. And I doubt that there is anybody who is a regular listener to a call-in program who will not go through the experience of saying, man, I'm turning off this radio until this fella finish because he's talking foolishness all the time. They do it with me as a moderator, you know? I don't want to hear that, you know, because part of it is sometimes the person isn't talking so much nonsense. Sometimes you don't want to hear that point of view. It does not accord with yours. So once it doesn't accord with yours, it's foolishness. It's nonsense. You understand? So I got to wear all of this, but be very careful going off on one person's hunch or another person's hunch. We got scientific ways of trying to establish what is happening with a program such as this. And we must be guided by that more than our own personal desires and hunches and other people's. But thank you very much for drawing it to our attention. This writer says that they were smiling when the first caller was venting, as they put it. And they questioned the concept of the person being out of a job for 1.5 years. So she should try 6 years, my experience. As I have employed my skills in unexpected ways, I also haven't given up on successfully interviewing for a job, despite the belief of some that I have become unemployable. I encourage her to keep trying. In this economic environment, it is easy to become discouraged and frustrated with repeatedly interviewing for jobs or with the lack of responsiveness from companies. Where possible, continue to improve your skills. Volunteer where you can. Companies have low wage strategies, so the most highly paid are some of the first to go. This person calls that FIFO. And the last to be rehired. One suggestion I have for hiring managers is that they stop excluding highly qualified applicants on the assumption that such persons are unwilling to accept reduced compensation. Disclose the proposed salary rather than play games about asking for a desired salary. Naturally, people would prefer their accustomed paycheck. However, in today's circumstances, says the writer, give interviewees the chance to reject lower offers. Signed, Overqualified 2. Well, thank you very much, Overqualified 2. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes, Ellis.
Yes, sir.
A blessed day to you, sir.
And to you and yours.
Yes, thank you kindly, and I trust the same for you, CBC, the entire station. Not CBC, I mean your radio station.
Yeah, you could include CBC, too.
Well, them too, yes. And
we all need it.
Yes, and our entire nation, because we need to show the spirit of benevolence across our nation, which our nation, Barbados, has always been known for and appreciated for.
Let me see how to what extent you're going to live up to that now.
Yes. Well, I want to say to you that I think it's rather unfortunate that persons are so intolerant, or they show the intolerance for persons who have other views other than what they are thinking. Because they must understand that when God made us, he did not make us with the same mind. And in other words, people have their various views, and they're entitled to it. But I want to say, these are just a few things that I'm saying by the way. I think a person, you read some information, somebody sent a WhatsApp or whatever it was. It sounded to me like a person who lives in the United States who talked about, were critical of persons calling up this program and so on. I wonder when they were so critical of us here in Barbados calling our program, if in the United States, if they ever listened to Donald Trump, I wonder what they would say about him. You can imagine that we are here and we are hearing how we feel and how we see things, and they're critical of us because we're not saying what they want to hear. I think this shows a bit of intolerance on their part, and it says something about them.
I think you need to take into consideration that lack of tolerance,
yeah,
and lack of sensitivity can work both ways.
Yes,
I'm not here to say that it is more so on the one side than the other. But you as a caller, the people who call regularly, and those of us who sit here as moderators, we too have to take into consideration to what extent we may go over the top in the length of time it takes us to respond, and generally the tone in which we respond to callers from time to time. So everybody is in it together. You are in it, I am in it, and the people who are criticizing, you know, we got to listen to everybody.
I agree with you. And even those who are calling to criticize, they're being listened to as well. And somebody would be critical of them for what they're saying. So it's a cycle. Now, let me say here to you, when I was a boy, a young man, I used to go to theater. I don't know if you ever heard of the Gaiety Theater.
No.
Right.
Where is that? Where was that?
You know where the Roman Catholic Church is in Mount Stanford, St. James?
Yes.
Right. That was the Gaiety Theater many, many years ago.
That was about what period?
Oh, about way back in the 50s and so on. And early than that, the Gaiety Theater used to be. And then the one you was in Sprite Zone called the Astor. You probably wouldn't know. Where Elmer's Supermarket used to be on the above side where Jordan's is.
Yeah.
The Astor used to be there in those days. That's a long time ago.
And this was in the era of what types of pictures so that you went and watched there?
Cowboys and so on. And sword licking and cowboy and robbery and so on.
Yeah. And Audie Murphy. These are the Audie Murphy days.
Right. And Jimmy Jam and John Wayne. And,
yeah.
And those guys and Roy Rogers and, you know. I remember going to the theater many times. And I used to see the cowboys driving the cattle across the United States from one state to the next. And the driving was so hard that there were some of those animals were trampled. Some of them fell down dead, and there were those who were in such a bad situation that the cowboys would go back and shoot them. I'm saying that to say this. I am of the view that our country is being driven like that right now. Where there is, in my view, lack of consideration or very little consideration for the poor, the poorer, and the poorest.
Where's the evidence?
And on top of that, the disenfranchised.
Where's the evidence of it?
But let me. I was gonna give you that now. You said to me some time ago, you were pointing out to me that the last budget that Mr. St. Clair brought, that Mr. Arthur on the floor of Parliament got up and he said the measures were harder than the IMF would have induced. You remember saying that to me?
Yes.
And why do you think now that you have not heard Mr. Arthur said anything about these measures?
I can't speculate.
But I am going to speculate. My view is
that... No, but you need to make contact with what you just said.
You
ain't got a lot of time, so you're gonna make contact with the allegation which you have just made.
But I'm making it. I'm coming to that. Mm-hmm. That the reason why you are not here, haven't heard him, is that he has his breath has been taken, has been knocked out of him. There is no way.
Look, you ain't got much time. I just asked you to back up the allegation that you made. You are basically saying that there's a certain callousness and a lack of caring. And I asked you, where's the evidence? You're not going on to Mr. Arthur. That does not answer the question. If you want to stay here until after the news and come back and answer this question, I'm going to give you that opportunity, because you can't escape by making charges without supporting them. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. Here is a contribution from somebody living abroad. I have been trying unsuccessfully to pay my land tax from overseas. 1. The EasyPay system after registering, rejects access. 2, call the telephone number on the bill. Message says, after transfer, says person unavailable, try again. No option to leave a message. 3, can't pay the government online from my local bank. 4, can't pay by credit card online or by calling in. 5, sent an email on the 16th to the email on the government website, no response. No wonder the government doesn't have money. Is this the 21st century? Where one can sit at the computer and do almost anything? Lord help my country, says the writer. The other option of sending money by wire is not a viable option. It is too daunting to set up. Can take advantage of the discounts. They also say that they cannot take advantage of the discounts offered. And they point out that they're trying to pay on 4 separate properties. Just think of the funds that the government is losing from overseas landowners. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
I'm here.
Yeah. No, you accused the government of being callous, and you likened it to going back to shoot the cattle that weren't able to make the crossing. I want you, in all fairness, to explain exactly how the government is doing that. Where is this callousness being shown?
All right, and not only shoot the cattle, but the strong ones trample over the ones that were not.
All right, fair enough. But let me hear you back this up now.
Okay. Now, the government came to office, and they have slapped more taxes on the poor than any other government that I can think of in the history of Barbados.
Where does that establish the notion of callousness,
well,
being uncaring?
Well, I'm telling you,
because the government has also responded and explained to the Barbadian public the circumstances that have caused this. So I want you to tell... No. I want you, rather than reciting the things that the government has done, I want you to...
So how can I prove to you then?
I want you... Let me tell you what I want you to do.
If I can, I
can. Hold on a minute. Let me set the parameters here. We all know what the government has done. We want you to tell us what it has done that goes to this callousness, this uncaring attitude. What has the government done or said that, in your view, supports the notion that they do not care?
Let me explain to you now then. The government has slapped a $45 on the poor on a water bill. That, the poor is bearing that. The government has not, and has up to now, I don't know if you've heard it, tell the nation how it's going to collect $35 million in VAT that the poor and others has paid to the nation to ease the poor from their task. The government has not told us the money that the poor has paid in national insurance, $200 million or more, how they're going to collect that from that the poor has paid in. That and these are the things that the poor has borne. And rather than doing that, they slap not only the tax on the poor, but they come and give the poor a cosmetic, saying they're giving them a little, or people a little something, and then what they're taking from them is more than that.
Well, let me say to you,
You
hear upon a special rostrum right now.
You asking
without answering. Let me say to you. In the interest of balance, that I have heard the government articulate as recently as this week to students at the University of the West Indies, the circumstances in which Barbados finds itself, that we, according to the Prime Minister, have been on the precipice, that Barbados has been on the verge of a devaluation of its dollar, and that these measures have become absolutely necessary, not because the government does not care. The alternative position that they are putting to us is that it is because the government cares that it has to take these steps now to save a situation that will be worse further down the road. And it goes on to say that had some of these measures been taken earlier, it would not have been as bad. So that is the defense that I've heard from the government.